God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah chapter 61. And the title, as we pick up a particular word that may have caught your attention, is the concept of vengeance. I will admit, in today's world, especially in our Christian world, we may struggle with the concept that we have a God who one day will have a day of vengeance. Today, as Christians, the concept of vengeance is almost considered to be unchristian and unethical. And it would almost be appalling for us to sit there and say, yes, there's going to be a day of vengeance. Especially when Jesus himself says, love your enemies. If Jesus is telling us to love our enemies, how can God be a vengeful God? Well, sometimes people like to chalk this up and say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament God filled with wrath and destruction. And in the New Testament, you have the God of love and mercy. Well, I hate to tell you this, but if that's the way you're thinking, it's still the same God. We need to balance this out. How can we have a God of mercy and a God of vengeance, so to speak? Well, today's text in Isaiah actually gives us the clue here and points very clearly to a God who is very loving. The opening words of our text: the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and with that last sentence, the add-on, and the day of vengeance of our God. How do we balance these things? Well, today we're going to take a closer look at this concept of vengeance. I will tell you that even in the Christian church today, there is vengeance. There is revenge in this Christian world. And it's very prevalent. It is in the heart of every single Christian. Not on the spirit side, of course, but on our sinful nature side. If you don't believe me, think back to a time when you were hurt. Somebody hurt you personally. And if not you, maybe one of your loved ones. And what was your reaction to that hurt? Forgive and forget? Or was your reaction, where is my opportunity for payback? It takes one event for someone to really hurt us, to see that evil coming up within us, within our thoughts, within our words, and even within our actions. We may prevail in this area of vengeance. We may say to God, move aside, God, my anger is coming through. Who cares about the Bible passage that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We will want it, and we want it now. Maybe this hasn't happened to you. It may. Or maybe it already has. Please know that in this message here, I'm going to be separating out a little bit between the vengeance of our human nature and divine vengeance. I do not want to associate the concept that God will do any type of divine vengeance because of any sin within him. God is holy. There is no sin. So is there a difference between divine vengeance and our vengeance? And the answer is yes. Our vengeance is usually in the form of getting even, paying someone back who has wronged us because we have hurt. And typically we have been hurt, and so what we want to do is we want to hurt the other person as badly as they hurt us. Inflicting pain and suffering is the primary goal, and we think that this will bring satisfaction for our hurt. It usually doesn't, but it may feel good during the time. However, Divine vengeance is completely different. Divine vengeance, when God uses it, the main goal is not some personal vendetta. If God was going to operate this way, he would have wiped Adam and Eve off the face of this earth immediately after they sinned. However, he chose not to. Instead, he chose to provide a Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross to restore humanity, to relieve the brokenness that sin now had entered. God could have wiped them out and satisfied himself, supposedly. But God chose redemption instead of vengeance, that personal vengeance. So obviously, divine vengeance is not some personal tit-for-tat type approach. When divine vengeance takes place, humanity is, in one essence, somewhat secondary when God uses divine vengeance. God uses divine vengeance, especially in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel were going into the Promised Land. And the people in the land were not believers. God said to the people of Israel, "This is my land, these are my people, you will come and I will help you take the land." Divine vengeance is also used when, even on the people of Israel, when they disobeyed God's command. They broke the covenant. Why would God use this divine vengeance here? Again, any way that a parent would try to discipline their child. In the act of discipline, you're not necessarily reacting as far as hatred toward this child, but you're trying to protect the child from something worse. If the people of Israel continued in that rebellion of sin against God, the worst would happen. They would be without God. It brings to the concept and how the day of vengeance fits in with the concept of Advent. Advent means coming. And we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did come. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and we celebrate his initial coming at Christmas time. But he also promises to come again, that second advent. And that second advent is that day of judgment. The day that, yes, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And in that day of judgment, you have, in one essence, the day of vengeance. Where, yes, we do preach and understand what the Bible says, that those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ will inherit eternal life. Those, however, who reject our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will not enter eternal life. Where will they go? Christianity sometimes has a hard time dealing with this concept because we keep thinking about the love of God. Fair enough, God is very, very loving. And God does want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. The problem is, not all will be saved. Scripture very clearly teaches that there is a hell. There is that place where you will be without God, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That last day when Christ comes again will be that day. But now, as the Christian who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ, we have to realize that God operates both ways. His natural way is to operate that of love. His unnatural way, the theological term is God's alien work, is that of the day of vengeance. And it is coming. Why, as Christians, do we need to be reminded of this day of vengeance? For some very good reasons. What brings us here today? And it shouldn't necessarily be the avoidance of the day of vengeance, but something else. See, too often Christianity misunderstands what is really taking place when Christians gather, typically on Sunday morning. Here at Trinity, we try to make a strong emphasis of the divine service, where it is the divine who serves us. How does God serve us? He serves us with the forgiveness of sins. He serves us by restoring us. Hence the beginning of our text. The Lord has anointed me to bring what? Good news to the poor? Bind up the brokenhearted? Liberty to the captives? Opening of prisons to those who are bound? Another way of describing this is that the church is here to proclaim God's word in a way that will bring healing and restoration. Church wasn't necessarily designed to be like a movie theater or the show, where it's just filled with entertainment, but is designed for us to receive from the Lord Himself what He gives: forgiveness of sins and restoration. Now, what do you do with those people who say, I don't need this forgiveness of sin. I don't need this restoration. I'd rather just be entertained in this world. Well, the best analogy I can come up with to try to explain this is, what do you do with those electronic gadgets that some of us may receive during this Christmas time? You know, those gadgets especially that need to run on batteries. What happens if the gadget basically says, I don't need batteries anymore. I'll just operate by myself. Well, eventually, what's going to happen? If it doesn't have batteries and it doesn't work, I don't know about you, but my response is throw it out. Humanity is very similar to that. If we don't realize that we need God, because He's the one who created us, He's the one who redeems us, He's the one who keeps us alive, He's the one who repairs us and restores us, who gives us breath, so to speak. If we deny all this, what's the consequences of the denial? The junk bin. In one essence, that's what the Day of Vengeance is all about. For those who continue to deny that they really need the forgiveness of sins, those who deny that they're not really sinners, they don't need a Savior to deliver them from sin, they need someone to motivate them. The Day of Vengeance is coming. Picking up with our gospel reading for today, because the two are connected, we have John the Baptist being asked, why are you here? And what was the answer? To remind the people that, yes, the Christ is coming. And to do so by saying, repent. Make a straight path for the Lord. He is coming. The Day of Vengeance is important for us as Christians to remind us that, yes, He is coming again. And God does not like sin. And we are a bunch of sinners. When has our own wrath and anger and vengeance surfaced within us? We may be in denial and saying it has never, but if your sinful nature is anything like mine, it has, and sometimes more frequently than we want. And if God does not like our anger, doesn't like our sin, where's the answer? The answer is not in more entertainment or motivation. The answer is a Savior, the one who comes and restores, the one who comes and brings healing for sinners, the one who comes and brings eternal life, because we can't do it ourselves. We need that Savior. The Day of Vengeance is very important within the Christian vocabulary. Yes, we have a very loving and merciful God, and we dare not take that away. Otherwise, who would want to be connected to a God who just dishes out wrath and punishment? We'd rather be connected to a God who brings mercy, who brings love, who brings healing, and brings restoration. But if we feel we don't need that type of God, when Christ comes again, there will be that separation of the sheep and the goat. Advent is a time of coming, and within that coming, we realize that Christ is coming again. So when we see that sin surfacing within our lives, we come back to our Savior Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Forgive my many sins. And that's why we come to the divine service, where the divine serves us with his love, yes, with his forgiveness, his restoration, so that when he comes again, we do not expect that day in fear, but delight, knowing that it is a day of the final restoration. So during this time of Advent, we are looking forward to his coming and realize that, yes, we deserve his wrath, we deserve his vengeance, but thanks be to God that we have a Savior who doesn't come to entertain or motivate, but a Savior who comes to forgive, to restore, and to bring his love and his peace. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.